Well, let's go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 16. We'll dismiss the kiddos now. Revelation 16. Hope you have your Bible. If you don't, why not? Okay. You ought to have it. I'm seriously debating taking this coat off and hanging it on the pew here. It's a little bit on the warm side. I'm thinking I'm the only one going to be working tonight, okay? So I think I'm. The only trouble is I got my microphone deal in my pocket here, so I'll survive. I've been hot before, so it won't be the end of the world, you know. All right, there, Revelation chapter 16. Hey, listen, pray for the weather. We've had our air conditioner man came check our units here at church, and he said the only problem is the weather. He said it is just so hot that it's just having trouble keeping up, and that's what's going on tonight too, you know. And we had one unit that wasn't working, and so it was running on the inside but not on the outside, so that got fixed, and so we'll run both of them. Maybe it'll help this coming Sunday. I don't know what this thing is doing, but it's a humming and a bumming, all right, and that's enough to drive me nuts. So there you go. That sounds a whole lot better. There you are. A little bass in it. Yeah, just a little bass in it. All right. Revelation 16, if you have your Bible there. Let's look, if you will, at verse 16. The Bible said, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Armageddon. We're going to look tonight at the great battle of Armageddon that's coming. It's going to be, I believe, the largest battle campaign the world has ever seen. And I do say campaign because it will be just that. It will be a campaign. Normally, we think battle, we think one-shot deal. But the truth of the matter is it's not that way. For instance, the Battle of Gettysburg. I guess if you're in the United States, you've heard of the Battle of Gettysburg, all right? And I could ask you a serious question, where was that fought? I hope you'd get that one right, all right? But the Battle of Gettysburg wasn't a battle. It occurred over 3 days, and there were several battles over that 3 days. It involved fighting at the Little Round Top, Devil's Den, Culp's Hill, the Wheat Field, and Pickett's Charge at Cemetery Ridge, and all of those things. They were part of it there, and others. That didn't even cover all of them. But we refer to that as the Battle of Gettysburg, all right? Even though it took 3 days, and there was a lot of conflict. But such is going to be the Battle of Armageddon, and we're going to look at it tonight. Now, we're going to talk, first of all, about the place of the battle. And so you say, well, preacher, you've already answered that in Revelation 16, because it said they're gathered into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Armageddon, that word means, it comes from a Hebrew word meaning the Mount of Megiddo, all right? And you said, how do you know that? Well, I read it, and I trust the people I'm reading behind, all right? I don't know any Hebrew, so... that's it, and that's where it's at. It's in the plain of Esdraelon, and you say, well, where's that? Well, it's in Israel, all right? I thought I'd put a little bit of a map here. This is that valley right here in this area is the plain of and the valley of Megiddo, the place Armageddon. Notice here's the place called Megiddo, all right, where it derives the name. It's west of... the Jordan River here. It's about 15 miles from the Mediterranean, inland from the Mediterranean Sea, and it's about 10 miles southwest of Nazareth, all right? Just to give you a feel for that just a little bit. Oftentimes it's referred to, and it was on that other picture, is the Valley of Jezreel, all right? And just to kind of set you again, where we're talking about is in this area right here, all right? This is more of an aerial view, topographical map. Here's the Dead Sea. There's the Sea of Galilee. And this is that area where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. Maybe I should say that's where it's going to start, all right? And here's another view from Mount Carmel. I'll back it up again. This is Mount Carmel, all right, right here. That area. And if you're on Mount Carmel and you're looking east from the top of Mount Carmel, this is the view you'll get of that valley, all right? It is a very fertile plain, a lot of crops raised there. So that's where it's at. It's Armageddon, just to review. It's the Mount of Megiddo. It's in the plain of Esdraelon and the Valley of Jezreel. All of these talking about the same places, all right? But truthfully, the campaign, that battle of Armageddon, is eventually going to involve the entire land of Israel, okay? It is going to involve the entire land of Israel. We'll see that more as time goes along, all right? This area is really God's ground for judgment. As you read through the Bible, boy, it's been one of the places that God has used for judging wicked kings and their armies and others. For instance, it was in this area that Gideon put it on the Midianites in Judges chapter 6 and verse 7, all right? Same area that we're talking about. It was in this area that Samson whipped the Philistines, all right, and slew them with the jawbone of the ass there in Judges chapter 16. It's the area where David slew Goliath, all right? Same area that's found 1 Samuel 17. It's also the area where Saul was slain by the Philistines. I told you God used it as a judgment place for kings, and that's where Saul was slain. It's also where Josiah was slain by the Egyptians in 1 Kings 23. It's also the place where Ahaziah was slain by Jehu in 2 Kings chapter 19. So it's been the ground that God has used for his judgment on a lot of kings, but it has also been a battleground in world history, all right? There's been at least 34 bloody conflicts in that very area, all right? Now, relax. I'm not going to try to name all of them, all right? Some of you say, Lord, preacher, you like history too much. Well, I do find it very entertaining, but we're not going to talk about all of them. But I will say this, there have been Arabs, there have been Egyptians, Romans, Mongols, the French, Germans, Crusaders, and many others have shed their blood in that area through the years because of so many battles that have been fought there. Napoleon, you may have heard of Napoleon. I'm told that Napoleon said of this area, it's the world's greatest natural battlefield. Now, you said, why has there been so many battles? Well, because of where it's located. If you'll remember or if you'll think about the geography of the area, it is on the route between the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Hittite Empire, and down going to Egypt, and Egypt coming out of there. So there's been a lot of battles there, all right? Been a lot of battles fought in that area. And so in 1918, there was a battle there. General Edmund Allenby of the British defeated the Ottoman armies there and gained control of the land of Israel, took it out of the Ottoman control where it had been for centuries, and really kind of set the stage for the nation of Israel to exist, all right? And so that was in that area. That's where it came from, okay? Now, you say, well, who's going to participate in the battle? Well, take your Bible. Let's go. Now, you might want to stick something in Revelation, all right, because we'll be coming back. But go with me over to, well, if you're still in Revelation 16, you say, who's going to be in the battle? Look, if you will, in verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. You said, where are they going to come from? They're going to come from all the world, all right? Armies from all over the world. Now, like I say, kind of keep something in right there, but go to the book of Zechariah, next to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah, if you will, Zechariah chapter 14. I want you to see who's going to be involved in this battle. It's going to be the armies of the world. Zechariah 14, verse 2, the Bible says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Now, remember what I told you. If you can remember back to that map, okay? If you remember back to that map, the Valley of Jezreel, the place there of Armageddon, is a good distance from Jerusalem. But when I say they're going to be gathered together at a place called Armageddon, I believe that's where the battle's going to start, okay? But they're going to go down, and the Bible says there all the armies of the nations of the world going to come, and they're going to take Jerusalem, all right? They're going to come, and they're going to overthrow Jerusalem, and it's going to be a time where the Jews are going to flee. They're going to run for their life, the ones that survive and are not killed in that battle. So the armies of the world, obviously the armies of the Antichrist, are going to come from the west and the north. And then Revelation chapter 16. Now, don't lose your place in Zechariah, because we're coming back, all right? But back in Revelation 16, if you will, notice down in verse 12, we read, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." So they're coming from the east and the west, and they're coming from the north. The only place the Bible doesn't say they're coming from is the south, all right? So they're coming from all over the world, and they're there for one reason, okay? They're there for one reason, to destroy the nation of Israel. Now, today, the nation of Israel is part of the United Nations. But I believe the day's coming when they're going to be thrown out. I believe the day's coming when Israel will be thrown out of the United Nations. I've already talked to you about the prejudice that's shown towards them. So the armies of the world are going to unite one goal in mind, to destroy the Jews, destroy Israel. So those are the participants. But there's one other participant, God himself. All right, God himself. So back to Zechariah, okay? Back to Zechariah. I told you to keep your place, so I hope you did. And back to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." Now notice, when's that going to take place? Well, according to verse 2, it's going to take place after Jerusalem is taken. All right? After Jerusalem is taken. My personal thought is that being in that situation, that after Jerusalem is taken, hey, that's the capital city. That is the heart desire of Jewish people. It is centered in that city of Jerusalem. And so the battle starts in Armageddon up in the Valley of Jezreel, comes down through the country, takes in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is destroyed. The Jews are running. If you will, go to Joel chapter 3, all right? Joel, after the book of Hosea. And if you're like my Bible, there's not very many pages in Joel, so you got to be careful. You can easily get past it. Joel chapter 3, if you will, verse 16. The Bible says, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore." I believe the Lord's going to wait until it looks real desperate, okay? Looks real desperate. And maybe it looks like all hope is up and it's over, but then the Lord gets in the fray. All right, God joins the battle, and when he does, obviously he's going to make the difference, okay? Obviously he's going to make the difference. The whole world's united against his people and his land, and so he's going to come forth. And you say, well, what are the weapons going to be? Well, I believe everything man can lay his hand on. Everything a man can lay his hand on, he's going to come with it, all right? The tanks and the aircraft and the bombs. And you say, Tom, I believe they'll try to use atomic weapons. I believe everything they've got will be thrown against those Jews, and it'll come that way, everything. But you say, what's going to be on the other side? Revelation 19, all right? Now, Revelation 19, verse 15. This is one battle that I've said I believe we're going to be there, all right? Because in Revelation chapter 19, you get verse 11, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Drop down to verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Out of his mouth, the Bible said, goeth a sharp sword. Now, when I was a kid reading this, I thought, well, that's going to look strange. All right? But, hey, I was a kid. I didn't understand. You say, well, how do you figure these things out? Well, you compare Scripture with Scripture. Let's go back to Hebrews, all right? Hebrews chapter 4. Because that sharp sword, I don't believe it's going to be what we think of when we think of a sword, all right? Because there's another sword that the Bible's already told us about. In Hebrews chapter 14, or not 14, 4. There's not 14 chapters in Hebrews. That's a computer. They make bad mistakes, all right? For when the time, verse 12, chapter 4, the Bible said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice what the Bible says. That sword is the Word of God. It's sharper than any other two-edged sword. It is so sharp that it can pierce the heart of man and not leave a scar. Okay? It is so sharp that it can pierce the heart of man and not leave a scar. Hey, it's the Word of God that pierces our heart when we hear it preached. God uses His Word, all right? God uses His Word to do a work in us. And the Holy Spirit takes that Word and moves it in there. And you say, what's that weapon? I believe that's the weapon God's going to use. Out of His mouth goes a sharp sword. What's it going to be? It's just going to be the Word of God. It's what God's going to say is going to get the job done, all right? And it's the Word that will win, okay? It is the Word that will win. The Word that cuts to the heart of man, does major surgery without leaving a scar. When fully unleashed, I believe it's fully able to cut the enemies of God to pieces, all right? And I believe that's exactly what it's going to be. And back in Revelation 19, it says the saints followed him on horses, you know. I believe we'll be there, we'll be at the battle, but I don't believe we're going to fight. There's nothing for us to do, all right? It's one of those deals where we'll let the Lord take care of it. I've told you before, when we were kids growing up, we had trouble with the kids down the corner, we'd call on Brenda, and Brenda could whip every boy in the neighborhood. She was tough. And I was more than happy to say, sick 'em, Brenda. All right, and I look back and I look at this, and we're going to be there at that great battle, but I don't believe it's going to be us doing that fighting. We're not going to be involved, but we'll be there to see our great God and the King of Kings just annihilate the armies of the world, all right? And I remember when I was a kid seeing a movie on television called The Day the Earth Stood Still. And if you ever saw, man, it's back in the 50s, I guess, or early 60s. But it's got this robot that, you know, and they came in the movie, they got these jeeps and they got these, you know, tanks, and there's just a little beam comes out of that robot and just melted the Jeep and the tank, you know. Hey, I think, boy, the Lord's going to take His word and just cut them to pieces. And those fighter craft that are coming over, you know, and trying to attack, He can take them out too with the Word of God, the Word of God. Hey, listen, we have not enough respect for the power there is in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that does the work. The Bible said we're born again by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that does the work, all right? When we get up as a preacher, when I get up to preach, I'm going to give you some Bible because I realize all the way down the line, it's not my great thoughts. It's what the Word of God says. And by the way, it's what the Word of God says that the world resents so much in this day. So I believe the weapons is going to be, from the human standpoint, and that Gentile armies that are coming, it's going to be everything they can muster. But on the other side, God is just simply going to be the Word of God, and all He's got to do is speak it. If He could speak this universe into existence, I believe He can speak them out of existence. All right? I don't believe it'll be a challenge to Him whatsoever. Now, what's going to be the outcome, all right? Man, I did everything wrong. This thing still never got in there, all right? What's going to be the outcome? Go with me to Zephaniah chapter 3, Old Testament, the book of Zephaniah, right in front of Haggai, which is right in front of Zechariah, which is right in front of Malachi, okay? So does that help you? Not really, all right? Well, if you got a Scofield Bible, I can tell you it's on page 961, all right? Say, what's going to happen? Zephaniah chapter 3. What's going to be the outcome of the battle? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Hey, what's happening is God's drawing those armies together. Now they think they're gathering together to attack and destroy the Jews and destroy the land of Israel. But God's saying, I've determined to draw them together so I can have them all there and I can just pour out my wrath upon them at that point right there. And notice the way He puts it. There's no doubt about it. He said, even all my fierce anger. We live in a day where people think God never gets mad. God's just an old happy fellow somewhere up, you know, there, and He's always got a smile. He's just that old gentleman, white-headed, and never. Hey, listen, the Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day. Every day. And that anger is going to come to a head, if you will, and His wrath is going to be poured out on this earth that's rejected His Son and rejected Him and rejected His people. So God says, I believe that's one thing. Hey, not only that, but take your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 30. All right, Jeremiah chapter 30. Where's that? Well, it's in the Bible. It's after the book of Isaiah, okay? Jeremiah chapter 30, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 30, and won't you look with me in verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11. The Bible says this, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee." Excuse me. "But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." So the Lord said, now I'm going to punish Israel too. But He said, I'm going to make a full end of all nations. A full end of all nations. And it's going to be the end of statehood, if you will, in the nation states. It's going to be the end. God said, I'm going to make an end of it, all right? But boy, I like this next one. Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. The controversy of Zion is going to be settled. Verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 34. The Bible says here, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." You said, "Man, I didn't know there was any controversy of Zion." Where have you been? Man alive, you talk about a controversy, it is. You've got nations surrounding Israel over there who believe they have no right to exist and claim that they're on their land. Now God gave it to Abraham and Abraham's descendants. Now, a lot of people don't like that, but they'll just have to get over it, okay? I mean, there's things in the world you or I may not like, but if it's the will of God and it's God's word, we just might as well say, "Okay, Lord, whatever you say, whatever you want to do, that's good. We'll go with that." But we're not going to fight against God. But we've got nations around the world that detest Israel and believe they have no right to exist. And numerous ones have said, "We're going to drive them into the sea." That is their intention. Anti-Semitism did not end at the end of World War II, all right? It's not even close to ended. There is books and books have been written again on the war against the Jew, all right? And that war's still going on. There's still people hate them. Look, God gave the Jewish people, now not every individual one, but God gave those Jewish people the ability to make money. God just gave them the ability to make money. Now you say, "Oh, well, that's not right." Take it up with God, okay? You take it up with Him. Don't complain to me. But God blessed them and gave them the ability to make money. And boy, a lot of people resent that. That it's caused resentment. That down through history, Jewish people would do well, they would be blessed, and then nations would move in and say, "We're going to take everything you've got and throw you out of the country." And they've done it many times, all right? So God says, for once and for all, we're going to settle this controversy of Zion. So we're going to settle that. He said, when we get through, there won't be any controversy, all right? There will not be any controversy whatsoever. Take your Bible to Revelation, back to Revelation chapter 14. Now, this is the thing oftentimes probably we think about so much when we think of the outcome of the Battle of Armageddon. We think of what the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 20. And it is a great part of it, all right? Revelation chapter 14 and verse 20, the Bible says this, "And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." To the depth of a horse's bridle, that's anywhere from 2 to 5 feet, okay? So let's figure it's 3 or 4 feet. And you say, "Well, it can't be. There's no way it could be that." Well, where'd you get that idea? Hey, it's millions and millions of people that are going to be in the armies of the world, and they're coming to the nation of Israel, okay? And God's going to tread that winepress with that crowd, and the blood's going to flow. You said, "It can't be that much." Well, in the Civil War, Antietam Creek flowed red with blood because there were so many soldiers killed, and their blood was shed at Antietam, the Battle of Antietam. If you just read your history, all right, it's there. So if it could happen in even that small a scale there, hey, think what it'd be like when there's millions of people in the army. And they're going to be killed, all right? That blood's going to flow. And the Bible says 1,600 furlongs. Now, I know everybody here knows exactly how long a furlong is, but basically it runs between about 170 to 200 miles is how long that 1,700 furlongs, all right? 1,600 furlongs, excuse me. It's about 170 to 200 miles. Remember what I said about the Battle of Armageddon? When we started, remember when I said it's a campaign and it's eventually going to cover the whole country of Israel? From the Valley of Jezreel to the southernmost tip of Israel is right at 180, 200 miles. It's no accident the Bible says this, that's how long and deep and how long that blood's going to flow, all right? No way in the world, all right? And that's going to be the outcome. But also the outcome, it's going to clear the road to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to open that way. Remember, let's back up, full end of all nations, right? There won't be any more nations. There won't be any more people out to get the Jew in Israel. There's going to be one world government. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And we're going to have the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That way is going to be the outcome of the battle of Armageddon clears the way for the millennial reign of Christ. Opens that up. Okay? Opens that up. So the conclusion. All right? The conclusion. I want you to think about it with me. I believe tonight the world is rapidly heading to this battle. Rapidly heading to this battle. Now, it's going to be towards the end of the tribulation period, but all the events are building towards that end. Everything we see happening in the world is pointing that direction, okay? Pointing that direction. It's there. Hey, the truth of the matter is today the world and the people in the world, people long for peace. We want, and people long for it so much they're willing to let things happen because, well, if we don't, we stand up, it'll mean war. And so there is that great longing for peace, but it's not going to come. You know, I hate to have the pessimistic viewpoint, but that peace is not going to come before a lot more warfare breaks out, all right? It's just not going to, because the truth of the matter is, destruction is on the horizon, not peace. Destruction is on the horizon. We've had the United Nations now for, what, going on 100 years, okay? And we all know the result has not been peace. The League of Nations started after World War I. The idea there was World War I was fought, you know, to bring in peace to the world. Well, very short time, we had World War II. The League of Nations collapsed, and they came up with the United Nations, and the whole idea, we're going to have peace, and we can get together, we can talk. But folks, there's not peace. Destruction's looming on the horizon. If we just talk about tonight, we've got war in Ukraine. We got war in Ukraine. There's plenty of world leaders that believe if Putin and Russia is able to take Ukraine, they're not going to stop there. They'll look for a justification to go against another country, all right? Then we've got in North Korea, we've got the head there. I'm not going to be disrespectful and call him the little fat boy, but anyway, just be a bad thing to do. But, I mean, they're shooting missiles and testing missiles and all of that. We've got Iran building up to nuclear warheads. We've got China threatening to go into Formosa. Hey, I'm telling you, destruction's on the horizon. Destruction's on the horizon, all right? I'll be honest with you, the only peace there is to be found today is in the heart of the believer. As the whole, that spirit comes with the filling and the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God. And my friend, that is the only real peace that's available today. It's not going to be political. It is a spiritual thing. That's the only peace that's available. Now, the question is, do you have that peace? You say, well, preacher, we're Christians. I know, but there's a lot of Christian people who don't have peace. There's a lot of Christian people who do not have peace. I tell you, there's a lot of, I believe they're saved. There's a lot of them taking a lot of medicine trying to get peace. Taking drugs. And look, Don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you tonight. I'm not trying to kick those folks. They need some help, but they're trying to get it in the wrong place. The real peace that's offered to man today comes when we'll yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God and allow Him to fill us and allow Him to give us the peace that only He... The Bible refers to it and says, the peace that passeth all understanding. The world has no concept of that peace. None of it. But you and I have availability. But the question is, do you have that peace? I mean, is it evident in your life? Is it there? You say, preacher, can't have it. You can. But you don't know what I'm going through. I'm telling you, you can have that peace. I'm telling you, you can have peace. The songwriter said there's peace. In the midst of trouble, there's peace. Or there's peace in the time of trouble. There's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace though the world be raging in the shelter of His arms. There's peace to be had. There's peace to be had. But that peace comes from a relationship that's real with you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just salvation. Now, you got to be saved to have that peace. But you also have to learn to yield yourself to Him. And I ask you tonight, do you have that peace? Would you bow your heads tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? Not going to ask the song leader to come or the instruments to play. They don't need to do that. Don't need.